Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Well, this is the second week of our series we are calling Is There Baseball in Heaven? And last week, we talked about how we all have this ache, this longing for nothing less than infinite happiness. And that longing, that ache for eternity has been placed in our heart by God. Ecclesiastes says this, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the human heart. God has placed this desire for infinite happiness in our hearts. But last week we talked about how while we have this desire for infinite happiness, we keep looking for finite things to fill that hole, to fill that ache for infinite happiness. We make this mistake over and over again. And often we expect the things of this earth to fill that desire for infinite happiness. But we looked at this quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, brilliant guy, taught at Oxford, a great writer, wrote the Chronicles of Narnia series, and he said this, if we find in ourselves a desire which nothing on this earth can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. That we constantly find ourselves this ache, this longing that nothing on this earth or of this earth really can satisfy. And the most probable explanation is we were made for another world. We were made for heaven. And so throughout the course of the series, we're paying attention to that ache, that longing for infinite happiness and trying to get a clearer picture of what that will look like in heaven. And then we want to learn to live our lives in light of heaven, in light of eternity. So as many of you know, I have a big family. My wife, me and I, we have 8 kids. So here's a picture of us. Now, we don't dress up like that every day. Just every Friday, we get dressed up like that for dinner. No, actually, that was from my sister-in-law's wedding this past October. So of course, it's me. That's my wife, Mia. There is my son, Max. He's the oldest. He's 18, just graduated from Curley, is enlisting in the Marine Corps. Gus, he will be a junior next year at Curley, or this fall at Curley. There's Nate, he will be a freshman at Towson High School this fall. There's my daughter, Elsa, she's 12. Kepha, who's 10. Lydia, who is 6. And Caleb, who is 7. So there's gonna be a quiz on this at the end, so I hope you got all that. And then in utero at that point is my daughter, Nadia, who was born this past February. Now, I have to be honest with you. Being a parent, being the father of 8 kids is not as glamorous as it sounds. I mean, whoever told me that being a parent of 8 kids would be easy, they just didn't know what they were talking about. And I got to be honest, that sometimes I am envious of people that are my age. I'm 46. Who had kids about the same time, and now their kids are older, and so they don't have to deal with some of the issues of younger children, right? Like just this morning, I promise you this is true, I was walking back from the bathroom into my bedroom, and I step on a Lego. Is there anything as painful as that? I'm like, ow, and I say things I can't say in church. And then I turn around, and I step on another Lego, and I say another word I can't say in church, right? And it's like so painful. I'm like, the toy is all over. I'm still dealing with that. You know, sometimes I still wake up in the morning and there's a couple extra bodies, little children in the bed. And, you know, as a result, my back is all twisted and my neck is sore and hurting. And I'm like, man, I'm getting old for this. Or, you know, I've been changing diapers for 18 years. So sometimes I have to change a diaper and I think I'm too old for this crap. I think that's funny. I laughed. You know, I'm like, I'm still changing diapers. And I have friends, they've long past done that. At the same time, though, there are a lot of benefits to having younger kids, that they still like me, my younger kids. And, you know, that we go to the beach, and I love just watching them play in the sand or body surf in the water and play in the waves. I love that they, and when we go to the pool, they still want me to play with them. They don't let me just sit around, but they ask for my attention. They want me to play with them, and I have a great time with them. You know, I love, again, at home, that they want me to play, you know, they want to play hide and seek with them and ghost in the graveyard and tag and all these things. And so they keep me young at heart. And that's what we're talking about today. Because to receive heaven, to get a clearer picture of heaven, we got to be young at heart, because in heaven, we will be forever young. So we're going to start out by looking at a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, and here's what it says. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So here's what the apostles, the disciples, they had correct. They understood correct. They were correct in understanding that Jesus is the King of Israel, that he is and was the Messiah. They got that right. What they didn't get right or didn't get correct is the type of kingdom he was establishing. They thought he was coming to establish a political kingdom. You know, and it was like a kingdom of this world, of this earth. And so they thought, hey, Jesus, one day we know you're going to be king. You're going to be king of Israel. And we got Jesus, we know you're number one in charge, but we want to know who's greatest after you. And so they're constantly jockeying for position to be the next greatest next to Jesus. So they're jockeying for this position. They come to Jesus, hey, Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom? What do we got to do to be the greatest in your kingdom when you rule? Because we know you're number one, but we each of us wants to be number two. And they don't get it. They don't get what Jesus is about, that his kingdom, a kingdom of heaven, is so much bigger than the kingdom of this earth, that it's not of this world. So he goes about trying to teach them a lesson. The next verse says this, and calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. So Jesus brings over a little child, and he puts the child right in the midst of the disciples. Now, I had thought about bringing up one of my children onto the altar, but I thought there's so many ways that could go wrong. So I decided just to show you a picture of my daughter, Nadia. There she is. She was born in February, and so she's not in that other picture. So, and you guys go, oh, that's cute, and you better, I'll come after you. No, but I mean, the natural reaction in our culture is to see a child and think that child is precious, which of course the child is. But that's not the reaction the apostles had. The apostles lived in a world in which children were kind of just totally an annoyance, and men didn't think about little children. And, you know, to bring the apostles would have been like, Jesus, come on, we're having an adult conversation here. What are you bringing a little child for? They would have been annoyed. And then Jesus turns it up. We're told, he says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, you got to turn. Well, turn from what? Well, see, the apostles, and we don't think of them like this. We see these little pious pictures of the apostles, and, you know, we think of them as praying all the time. Or the apostles were power hungry. That's why they were following Jesus. They thought he was going to be large and in charge, and they wanted to share in that power. And they wanted, again, an earthly type power. And so Jesus says, look, you guys are focused so much on getting power. And they were focused on power because they thought they wanted everything that came with it. They wanted, you know, they wanted the pleasure to be able to do whatever they wanted to do. They wanted the power to be able to tell other people what to do. You know, they wanted power because they knew that possessions and money and all that stuff came with it. They wanted power because they wanted to be popular and everyone to like them, or at least if they were powerful, people would have to pretend to like them. That's what they wanted. And they were focused on that. And Jesus says, you guys got to turn. You got to turn away from the ways of the world, and you got to become childlike. And Jesus would say to you and me, is that the world can tend to work its way into our hearts. And we maybe even see the ways of powerful and how the powerful act. And sometimes that just gets worked into our hearts. And Jesus says, I need you to turn. If you really want to understand heaven, you got to turn and be childlike. Not childish, but childlike. What's the difference? Well, see, childish, as we talk about in our culture, You know, often that's a negative thing, right? It means someone is emotionally immature. They're acting selfish. They're maybe throwing a tantrum. You know, to be childish means to think naively, and that's not what Jesus is saying. But he is saying you need to be childlike. And I made a list of all the different ways we can be childlike. I think I came up with like 8 to 10 different ways, and we don't have time to go through all of those, but I want to briefly go through 4 ways we can be more childlike so we can get a clearer picture of heaven. The first one is this, is to think concretely. To think concretely. Children think very concretely. And Aristotle said this, that the soul never thinks without a picture. But in adulthood, we tend to over-spiritualize heaven. We tend to start imagining a heaven that would fit angels but does not fit us as human beings, who are a composite of body and soul. You are a composite of body and soul. You are a physical being, and so heaven will be a concrete physical place with concrete physical things. To be honest, I used to think that it was silly to ask such questions. Is there going to be baseball in heaven, or will there be pets in heaven? Will there be cats or dogs or other animals in heaven? I used to think those were silly questions. And now I realize they're more spiritually mature because there will be a concrete place. Heaven is a concrete place. Another way to be more childlike is just to remember those things from your childhood, those concrete places, those sights, those smells, those activities that connected you to the eternal. It's why for me, baseball is very emotional because it was so much a part of my childhood. That growing up, I would play baseball with my best friend across the street and his older brother and some of my other kids on the street. And when my maternal grandfather came over to the house, he would talk to me about the Phillies, and that's how we connected. That I would love those days where my dad would take me to a Phillies game. I'd be so excited all day long that my dad was taking me to a baseball game. Another concrete image for me, or really it's more a smell. I love the smell of the bay. And the reason for that is for me is when I was a kid, one of the highlights of my year would be my dad and my paternal grandfather. We would go crabbing, and I remember just the delight and the joy I took in that, and the delight and joy I felt in being in their presence. What are those sights, those events, those activities, those places that for as a child connected you to the eternal? Think concretely. Next one. Think imaginatively. You know, when I observe my little kids, when I observe them playing, they imagine these new worlds and they get totally into character and they're totally absorbed by them. And what is heaven but another world? It'll be like this earth in some ways, and we're going to talk about this later in the series, but heaven is a totally different kind of world. So we need to think imaginatively about it. When I was a kid, I had this dream, or you know, I would imagine that God was going to come down and make me and my friends all superheroes. That's what I imagined, and I wanted to be Spider-Man. For the record, I thought that would be the coolest. And the adult in me, that feels kind of vulnerable, kind of feels silly to even mention that. But that's where the childlike heart is closer to the truth of heaven, because we know from the scriptures, from the gospels, that the resurrected body will have abilities that the earthly body does not have. That Jesus in the when he came back resurrected, we know he did normal things like eat and drink with the apostles, but he also did things we cannot do right now. He was able to appear and disappear at will. He was able to walk through walls. We want to think imaginatively what we'd be able to do with our resurrected bodies. Author John Eldridge, who wrote a book called All Things New, says in that book that he imagines what it'd be like to ride on the back of a whale through the ocean, or for an eagle to carry him through the air in the sky. He says, why not imagine that? Again, we'll be able to do things in heaven we cannot do here on earth. And for those of you who like to read fantasy, especially Christian fantasy, people like C.S. Lewis or Tolkien or other Christian authors, that is connecting you into heaven. You know, think imaginatively. Number 3, we want to embrace energy and enthusiasm. Again, my kids, they love to play long after I can play because I am tired and worn out, but they do not lose their energy and enthusiasm and vibrancy for life. And this is all a reflection of who God is. Isaiah tells us this. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 40, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary." God does not get tired. He's got boundless energy and enthusiasm. It continues, "They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk but not grow faint." Isaiah is saying this, that when we are in the presence of God, he renews and refreshes and strengthens and gives us vibrancy and energy and enthusiasm. And in heaven, we'll live in the presence of our Heavenly Father all the time. Complete connection. So we'll be continually refreshed and renewed. We will play, we will dance, we will sing. We'll have the energy and enthusiasm to do that. I think one of the reasons we have a misunderstanding about heaven is because of the way we deal with people after they die. And what do? We close their eyes and we fold their hands, and then we put R.I.P. on their tombstones, rest in peace. And in heaven, we will certainly have peace, but it'll be the peace that comes from being in right relationship with our God and right relationship with one another. But we will not be laying around all the time or just sleeping all the time. No. Again, we will have energy and enthusiasm. We will be active. We will play. We will dance. We will sing. So to be more childlike, think concretely, think imaginatively, embrace energy and enthusiasm. And the fourth way we can be more childlike, it comes to us in a passage from the Gospel of Luke. And we're told once again that Jesus with children. Now they were bringing infants to him that he might touch them. They're bringing little infants and babies that Jesus might bless them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." He continues, he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." To be childlike is to receive it. You see, as adults, we get used to having to strive and try to earn everything we get, and we try to arrange our lives just perfectly, and we're striving like that all the time, and we feel like if it's going to be, it's up to me. But children, they just receive things. They just receive things from their parents, and they trust in their parents' goodness to give it to them. They don't earn it. They receive it. You see, the kingdom of heaven is not something you earn. It's something you receive. And it's God's good pleasure to give it to you. So, what can we do this week? What are some steps we can take to tie back into the childlike attitude so we can see heaven more clearly? Let me give you three suggestions. Number one, it's just to observe children this week. You know, if you're a parent with little kids, you know, I know you're busy and you can be worn out and tired and the day-to-day stuff, but I would really encourage you to step back this week and to delight in your children, observe them, and enjoy that childlike attitude. Again, if you're a parent or a grandparent, an aunt or uncle, you can observe, again, those relatives. If you don't have any little children to observe, I got a couple extra. You can borrow them, all right? Right, and I know it's a little bit harder right now with like Zoom and that kind of thing. You might just need to watch them on Zoom or just like pay attention for kids in your life. A couple weeks ago, I was recording, doing some video recording, and I was up in our cry loft, and I had a little break, and I was looking out the window into our parking lot, and this car pulls up, and a woman and about a 6 or 7 year old girl get out of the car, and the girl was going to ride her bike in the parking lot. And so the mother is getting the bike out of the car, out of the trunk. But this little girl, she's just like going like this and running around in a circle. And it made me laugh, brought joy to my heart. Observe some little kids this week. Let it bring joy to your heart. Second, I want to encourage you to continue having conversations. That's our kind of thing throughout this whole series, is to have conversations about heaven and what it looks like. You can do that with your small group. You can do that with your family right after this at breakfast or brunch or lunch or over a cup of coffee or for dinner, whatever time of day it is and whatever it works best for you. So also we have our virtual cafe after all our live experiences throughout the course of the series. So Saturday at 5, Sunday at 9, and 10:45. So if you got your phone, you might want to take a picture of these questions so you have them handy. Just three questions here. But the one I want to draw your attention to is, what from your childhood speaks to you of eternity? What smells, activities, or sights do you remember from childhood that make you long to experience them again in heaven? And third step, I want to encourage us all to take right now, and that's to receive it. Now, if you call God your Father and recognize Jesus as your Savior and realize the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you've already received the kingdom of heaven. But for some of you, maybe you haven't. Maybe you're watching this and, you know, you've said things before like, you know, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners have so much more fun. And you thought, I'd rather be in hell than in heaven. Or maybe you've made the joke, you know, heaven would never accept me. But I hope you're coming to see that is all a lie from hell. That heaven, again, is not something you earn, but something you receive. That heaven is a place of fun, a place of joy and enthusiasm. And it's God's good pleasure to give it to you. So for all of us, again, I'm going to encourage you maybe to close your eyes or at least just open up your hands. In a minute, after we pray together, we're going to sing a song that says, I open up my heart to you. And that all of us would open up our hearts to God, if only a little bit, and say yes. Say yes to the promise of heaven and all it brings. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that connected to Jesus, connected to your sons, we are your beloved, connected to your son, we are your beloved sons and daughters. And Heavenly Father, we acknowledge it is your good pleasure to give us your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. So Father, we know we can't earn it. We receive it. And Father, we say, yes, 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 Father. We want your promise, the promise of heaven, that it's your good pleasure to give us. And we open up our heart. We open up our heart to you to receive it now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.